Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited tonight. And not because I'm preaching, but because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Say to your neighbor that Jesus is here. Hallelujah. And this afternoon, as I was just waiting on the Lord as well, I just heard God saying that I'm pleased of your faith. Tonight, as a corporate for us, God is pleased of our faith. It might be little as a mustard seed, but God is pleased of our faith. And because we believe that He exists, and tonight there is rewards of that faith that we have this evening. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, whatever is happening in your life right now, I just want you to thank God. Whether it is a situation, a circumstance, thank God for the result that you are trusting God for now. Let us thank God. Father, we want to thank you for miracles in this place. We want to thank you for healing in this place. Thank you, Father, for revealing your arm over us tonight in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you for your power in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive and you reign forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with a story around 1924 at Dallas Theological Seminary. They faced a financial crisis that almost completely closed their doors. And one morning on the day of the intended foreclosure, the leaders met in an office to pray that God would meet their need. And among them was one man called Henry Ironside. And he echoed and prayed and said, God, I know your word says that you have a cattle on thousands of hills. Would you sell some cattle and send us the money? And while they were praying, a farmer walked into the office at the reception and said to the secretary that I sold two trucks of cattle and I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit to bring the money to the seminary. And the secretary didn't even take time. She took the check right straight to the office where they were having the prayer meeting and handed it to the president of the seminary. And they said the president was amazed to see the figure because it was the exact figure that they were trusting God for. And the president announced with great joy and say, Henry, God has sold the cattle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God is a God of miracle. Our God, He is a promise keeper. He is a way maker and is here tonight. Hallelujah. At times we are faced with difficulties and challenges and crises in our lives. It might not be like the Dallas Theological Seminary of Finances. Probably your situation might be health. Probably it might be family. Or maybe your child has gone on a wrong path. Or probably you might have a business crisis or a job crisis. And when you're faced with situations like that, what do you do? And how does God expect us to respond to such situations? And the answer is simply by faith. God wants us to live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. It says there in New King James, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. In the light of that knowledge that we are supposed to live by faith, if we live without faith, there is great chances that we should change our lives of what God has ordained for our lives, and even might even fail to accomplish all that God has for us. And some of us might say, oh, I don't have faith. There are few men and women chosen who have faith. But is it really true that there are people who are few people who have been given faith? Yes, there is a gift of faith of miracles, but there is a faith that all of us have been given. Romans 12, verse 3. Let us read that read together. It says that as God's messengers, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Not what God is going to give you, but what God has given you. So all of us, we have received a measure of faith. I can say that tonight, some of us who works, we are not paid before we work. We go to work from the beginning of the month, and we have faith. We believe that the company will pay us. We haven't gone and checked their bank accounts to see whether they'll be able to pay us, but we believe. And I was saying to the people in Kalisha that they go, they take the taxis to Cape Town, wherever. They don't ask the driver, do you have a driver's license? They believe that the driver will take them to their destination. Even we ourselves, we board the planes and travel. We have never seen, at times we don't even see the captain. But we believe that we will reach our destination. And that's faith. Can you say to your neighbor, I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith. Hallelujah. Say it with passion. I am a man of faith. Hallelujah. But first of all, I want to establish, why do we need faith? John chapter 4, verse 24, it says that Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is real. He exists. Just as I see Kim here, Dion, I mean to say, they are one. Pardon me. Indeed. So God is real. But how do we interact with him? We're singing and worshiping here. We don't see him with our natural eyes. But we believe that God is here. We are giving him our worship. We are praising him. At times we are singing, dancing, because our King is here. We believe that he's here. So we need faith to operate with him, to cooperate with him, to work with him, to worship him. We need faith. And our Christian walk, it is a walk of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we live by faith and not by sight. Christian walk, it is by faith. If you don't walk by faith, you are going to face challenges. You need faith. In the world, they have means and ways to operate in their own world. But we live in a different world. We live in a kingdom of heaven, and we need faith to operate. Just forgiveness itself. You need faith to believe that when you confess your sins to God, that God has forgiven you. You need faith. Just to be saved, that scripture which was spoken earlier, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, it said that we are saved by grace through faith. You need faith to be saved. You need faith to be healed. You need faith for provision. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Please bear with me. I have an assignment tonight. And my assignment tonight is that all of us, our faith, wherever it is, tonight as we live, our faith will be strong like I can't explain whatever it is, but there is a place that God wants us to reach. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says that for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We can't see them. How do you fight something that you don't see? We need faith. That's the reason why we need faith. A demon, you can't see it, but you need faith to be able to come against it and to fight it. All of us, we are facing challenges in our lives, and those challenges, they are not, you can't touch them. It might be fear, it might be anxiety. It might be probably you don't know, you are afraid of the unknown. And those things, they are not tangible, spiritual. And you need spirit to fight them, and it's faith that can fight it. Also, we need faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever comes to him must believe that God exists and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For instance, in our scenario in Kalicha, my wife, first of all, she is the wrong color of skin, as in the context of townships, she is the wrong color to be in Kalicha. I am the right color of skin, but I'm a foreigner. Townships, you know how it is. And this is not a place for us. Martin and Joanne, they are Africans, is not the right place for them. But we have believed that God has called us and has sent us into Kalisha. And we are seeing lives being changed and transformed. So we need faith to be able to accomplish what God requires of us. If we walk according to sight, myself, I'm not the right candidate to be in Kalisha. My wife is not the right candidate to be in Kalisha. Martin and Joanna are not the right candidates to be in Kalisha. But we believe. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, God, for he has plans for our lives. Those plans are to prosper us. And those plans are the plans that we are seeing and believing that God has sent us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has the heart of man conceived it, the things that God has prepared for us. So for this season, Kalisha is what God has prepared for us. But we need faith to be able to operate and work there. I don't want to scare you, but on Friday there was a situation in Kalicha. Even the principal of the school, scholars went there and they shot him. The bullet went through his hand into his stomach and came from the other side. I went to see him at the hospital yesterday, and it is a miracle. The bullet went through and all the organs, they are perfect and nothing was touched. Hallelujah. And it is a reason for me and my wife to say that I think maybe let's back off. But we believe that God has sent us there and we will not be afraid. Thank you. God is on our side. For if we walk by sight, we will lose God. Hallelujah. The other reason why we need faith, God wants us to have victorious, to lead victorious lives. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4 says that for every child of God defeats this evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory. I like the Message version. It says that for every God-begotten son conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. So we need faith to be able to lead victorious lives. Joshua and the children of Israel were able to go and possess the land of Canaan because of faith. When the 12 spies went, the 10 came back with a bad report, a negative one, saying that there is giants, we look like grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb believed God. And they believed in how great is their God. They didn't see the giants. And it was faith that empowered them to be able to conquer the Canaanites that were in the land. Even when you read in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8 about Gideon, he conquered the Midianites, 135,000, and there were 300. Just think of it. In our natural mind, it doesn't work. It's only by faith. And most importantly, we need faith to inherit our promises, to inherit the things that God has prepared for our lives. Romans 4 verse 16, it says that, so that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift. We are certain to receive it. Whether or not we follow Jewish customs, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe in him. And the key there is faith. We receive what God has promised us by faith. When I heard God that Laura was my wife, it was a faith that brought her to existence, that she manifested eventually. I didn't know who she was, but in my heart I knew that there was a woman that God has for me. And I started to preach even in Danone, saying that there is a daughter of a king that God has chosen for me. I don't know where she's coming from, but I want to thank God. And I was giving glory to God, and there she manifested. Hebrews 6 verse 12, it says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what God has been promised to them. Hallelujah. And there we see again this faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 11 says, By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. It was by faith. So we need faith. That's why we need faith. And faith is the currency of heaven. In South Africa, we use South African rand to go and buy things in the shops. And for us to access the things of heaven, you need faith. Whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whatever it is, we need faith. That's the currency that works in heaven. And how do we develop faith? Number one, hearing God's word builds faith. Have you ever observed that the words that you give ears to and choose to believe them, they will get right inside of you and make you who you are? There is a story that goes like this, that Thomas Edison, one of the greatest inventors, as a young boy, one day he came from school with a letter to his mom. And he said, the teacher said, no one should read it, but only the mother. And Thomas Edison's mother, as she was reading the letter, her eyes well up with tears. And Thomas, a small boy, is asking, Mommy, what is it? What did they say? And the mother said, the school say that you are a genius. At the school, there's no teachers qualified to teach you. So you must stay home and I'll teach you myself. But later in life, he found the letter. And the letter said that your son is mentally deficient. And we have actually asked your son not to come to school anymore. Don't bring him back. But the mother chose to say, you are a genius. And she spoke, and every morning when she see Thomas, she'll be saying, my genius, my genius, my genius. And look, today we have a light bulb out of Thomas Edison, an inventor. Yeah. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. I know that I'm talking a lot of scriptures, but there is something happening now. Faith is rising here. I can sense it. We have a different radio stations and TV channels. And they are broadcasting. I want to tell you also, there is another station. You don't have to pay like what we pay with DSTV and stuff. And that broadcast is heaven. And we can also tune our ears to the word of God and meditate upon it. And we can hear the whispers of heaven. And when we hear the word of God, it creates faith in us. Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more it creates faith. Look at us today. Every one of us, we are the products of the word of God. One day someone was preaching and we were sitting, sinners, the worst sinners, but we heard the word of God being preached and we were cut to the heart and we decided that we want to receive Jesus. Because the word of God created faith in us and we gave our lives to Jesus. We have never seen Jesus in the flesh, but that word of God created faith. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. For example, the woman that Joey made mention to, the woman of the issue of blood. The Bible says she said to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Which means to say that she was hearing the miracles of what Jesus was doing. She wasn't hearing of how many people died of a condition. Please don't misunderstand me. It's good to understand your situation and circumstance so that you can know how to manage it. But she was hearing more of what Jesus was doing. That Jesus changed water into wine. That Jesus went to Lazarus' grave after 4 days and called back a dead man to life. This woman heard of people like Bartimaeus who were opened their eyes. And she, in her, she had faith. Those words created faith. And she said, if I can only touch this, just his hem of his garment, I don't need him to touch me. If I can only touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Because she was hearing the things that Jesus was doing and those things that created faith in her. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Number two, feeding on God's word. This one is very, very important to me. The word of God is spirit. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it says that for the word of God is living and active. This is the Bible. If I can stand on it now, it doesn't say anything. But the word of God, if I put it within my heart, if I meditate on it and I memorize it, it becomes alive. It's breathing. So when you feed the word of God, your faith becomes strong. John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said that the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. In the other sense, on the flip of the coin, which means to say that they are words which are full of an opposite spirit and death. What words are you listening to? What words are you giving your ear to and your heart to? My wife can testify, I don't listen to many things. My thing is my Bible and the works of the books that I read. That's all. I am protecting my heart. I need faith to live in this life. I don't have anyone I can run to, only Jesus. And what I can only touch Jesus with is my faith. And I need to feed my faith all the time. So as I meditate on the word of God, as I memorize the word of God, I am developing my faith. My faith is becoming strong. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall live by shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we need the faith of God. We need the word of God to build faith in us. In there, Jesus was actually using a human understanding that as we need, our bodies need food, so your spirit needs the word of God. Your spirit needs the word of God. And if it eats the word of God, your faith becomes strong. We have heard of George Muller. And George Muller is spoken of that time. He catered for orphans, which were almost 2,500. And they said in his lifetime, he raised almost $7.5 million. In those days, in the 1800s, there was no internet. There was no gospel TVs like what we have today that he can advertise what he was doing. And he didn't also have a church that he could collect offerings. But what he fed those kids with and housed them was by faith. We hear stories that he used to say to the kids, they don't have food, and put plates and everything and said, let's thank God for the food that God has provided. As they are praying, as they finish, someone will bring food to them. But the key of George Muller said that every morning he started with the word of God. He fed himself with the word of God. And his faith was strong. I heard Lester Sumrall testifying of Smith Wigglesworth. He said his first time that he went to his house, he had a newspaper, and he reached and knocked at the door. Smith Wigglesworth saw him and said, welcome. And he said, what is that in your hand? He said, newspaper. He said, leave it outside. It doesn't come in my house. Only the word of God stays in the house. And he was a man of the word. And the word of God, because it feeds, it gives you faith. Faith comes by acting on the word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, you'll be blessed in what he does. So faith requires an action. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it is weak. The more you exercise your faith, your faith grows. My faith, in my own starting, in my walk with God, I started with small things. Believing God for a small thing. At times I would pray and trust God just probably for 10 pounds. My Christian walk in those days, I was still a baby Christian when I went to England. And I would believe God probably for 10 pounds. And 10 pounds come, I write it down that God has answered my prayer. And now I continue to do that, and the more my faith grows. You must start where you are. Faith without works is dead. And prayer builds faith. Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22, verse 32, he said, I have prayed for you, Simon. Why? That your faith may not fail. I prayed for you. Why? Because that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back and strengthened your brothers. So prayer actually strengthens, develops faith. In Jude verse 20, it says that, but beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I pray more in my own language that I understand. I don't want to limit myself. God has given me the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I can pray in tongues. Why not utilize it for my Christian walk? And as I pray in tongues, my faith is strengthened. There it says that you build your faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. I know that our time is gone. But in my conclusion, I want to finish with Mark chapter 5, verse 35 to 36. That's where we find the story of this woman of the issue of blood. And this woman, she touched the hem of garment. But before then, there was a man called Jairus. He went to Jesus and said, "My daughter is at the point of death. Would you come and heal my daughter?" Jesus, as he is going to heal the daughter, there the woman comes and touched the hem of the garment, and there was distractions along the way. They took long. And verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And tonight, I want to encourage you, only believe. No matter, Jesus said, only believe. He has heard that the daughter is dead. According to heaven, death is sleeping. On here, on this earth, we call it death, but in heaven, is sleeping. So Jesus was not worried. He said, only believe. Because she is sleeping, I will raise her up again. I believe faith has been rising as we have been going through the scriptures this evening. Do you believe that Jesus can do that which you are trusting him tonight? Do you believe? That same Jesus is here today. That same Jesus who went to the grave of Lazarus after 4 days, the blood had dried up. There was no more hope, and his body was stinking. But the Jesus, because in heaven, death is sleeping. He just said, "Come out, Lazarus." And Lazarus woke up. And with Jesus, nothing is impossible. Only believe. Jairus, your daughter is dead. And Jesus, hearing it, he said, "Don't be afraid. I don't know your situation and circumstance. Don't be afraid. As long as Jesus is alive, you will make a way where there seems to be no way." We have been singing a song that he is our way maker. He is a miracle working God. He is a promise keeper. Indeed, he is. And only if there is faith, nothing is impossible. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He has the final say of our lives. Jesus, he can heal. If you open the blind eyes, people who were born blind, there is a spares of eyes in heaven. If we have spares for cars on this earth, what do you think heaven, is it impossible for heaven to have spare parts of our bodies and everything? God cannot be compared to us. We can make spare parts. How about God? So don't be afraid. Believe. Only believe. Do you have faith tonight that God can forgive you? Do you have faith that God can touch you tonight? There is a lady in our congregation this morning. She was sharing a testimony on community on Wednesday. She was praying about her brother in Eastern Cape. The brother was seriously sick in hospital. And we said, "Come in a circle," and we prayed for her. Because God is not limited to geographical location. And we prayed for her and laid on her, hands on her. Today she was testifying that he is discharged. And he is strong. And it's nothing to do with me. I didn't go to Eastern Cape. But Jesus is there. And Jesus, that same Jesus, is here tonight. And he is more powerful than that sickness, that disease. He is more powerful than that situation and circumstance. We didn't have money for our wedding, but we believed that God wanted us to get married. And we trusted God. I didn't have a job that was giving me money that can afford the wedding. But our wedding was worth almost $60,000. But I didn't provide it, but God did. I didn't have faith in who can give me. I never went to anyone to ask to say, please, will you help me? I went to the Father and said, Father, I thank you. You are my provider. You have never let me down. And I know that you will not let me down. Your name is Jehovah Jireh. Silver and gold is yours. You are the one who meets my needs. Not me, not my job does not meet my needs. You meet my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he did. And tonight I want to encourage you as we come to an end. I know there's someone here who is believing God for a miracle. You are believing God for something and you sense that a faith has risen in your heart as I was preaching tonight. I want you to stand wherever you are. Whatever you are believing God for, he is here tonight. He is here tonight. Maybe you are standing in place of someone who is not even here. Remember the story of the lady that we shared in Kalicha. Her brother was in Eastern Cape, but the power of God can go there. Geographical location is not a limitation to the power of God. Hallelujah. And right now, as you lift your hands in faith, are you ready to receive from God now? Receive now in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. If it is healing, receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive breakthrough in Jesus' name. Let it be healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Right now in Jesus' mighty name. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. God is not limited by laying on of hands. Yes, we do it, but he is here tonight. Let us allow him to touch you. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive right now in the name of Jesus. I send the power of God is here tonight. Receive in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be a miracle. Let there be a miracle in Jesus' mighty name. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Let there be a way where there was no way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Healing tonight. Healing tonight.